Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
So Rihanna may be celebrating, but she's also revealing the downside of fame. And we have thoughts. I'm Carissa. This is Justin and Morgan. And welcome to Daily Pop.
Yes!
Okay, let's start with the birthday girl, Rihanna. It sounds like one of her birthday wishes is for some normalcy in her life. Rihanna admits to Elle, her job puts her in very strange situations, and with fame, you lose more freedom than you gain. Sure, she can get stuff for free, get into parties and award shows, but Riri, all she wants to do is go to the grocery store. She explains, those things you minimize in your ordinary life, you don't realize how much they mean to you when you don't have that freedom to do that, or the flexibility to do it in peace. So, would you rather hear, a little would you rather to kick off the show, have the fame and all the money and the easy access to things, or have less and have a normal life?
Fame, easy access to things are going to Ralph, so I'm going to take fame and easy access to things.
Damn!
I mean, come on, this is always, this tale is as old as time. Like, it's like you're a celebrity and your life is amazing and you achieve every dream that you've ever wanted, and then all of a sudden it's like, but I can't go to the market. Like, I understand that that can definitely be upsetting and stressful and you want to be able to do normal things once in a while once you've hit that level. But ultimately, you want it to be at that level, so just enjoy it and have someone else go to the market. It's not that fun at the market, I promise you.
It's fun at the market.
I do like going to the market.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
Because I like to see, like, new things. But, you know, Angelina Jolie goes to the market, Kim Kardashian goes to the market, Chrissy Teigen goes to the market. You can. You will have to deal with more BS than the average person. Yes, people are going to stop you and want to take your photo, and it might be a little bit more of a spectacle than normal, but you can.
You can.
I'm sorry. That's a very good point. We've talked about Angelina basically sleeps at the market.
She always at Trader Joe's.
She's always at Trader Joe's, one bag, full cart.
Have you ever heard of a woman named Barbara Streisand?
I have.
Like, yes. Butter.
So Barbara Streisand is so rich and so famous that she created a whole mall at the bottom of her home.
True.
There is a yogurt store.
True story.
There is a doll shop.
Yep.
There is a clothing store. There's a grocery store, and there's someone who works in the mall. So if you have Barbara money.
She literally is looking, this is 100%
of this is real.
I know.
True.
I know this story. It still baffles me every time. That seems like the stupidest waste of money in the whole entire world.
But when you're Barbara Streisand, who cares?
Who cares?
But why would you? Why would you pay for the inventory just to go look at it to decide if I'm going to actually buy it?
It's stuff
you're buying it twice.
No, but it's stuff she needs. She doesn't actually need to buy it. It's stuff that she's already stocked, but she's created a store to have to avoid, you know, and she's also in Malibu. It's tricky to get around in Malibu, kind of.
She also invites you to come and shop if you know her. There's a Starbucks there.
Oh, there's a Starbucks?
There's a Starbucks in there? Girl! She, franchisee, girl!
I die.
She killed it.
I die for Barbara.
Give me a double latte, please.
She's like, I'm not going to.
Extra cream, you know.
I wish I could have it like Barbara, but I think back to the Rihanna Rihanna thing, you always want what you can't have or what you don't have. But sometimes fame gets a little bit tricky because, yes, you want the fame, you want these things, you want the access, you want the power to put out what you want to. But when you want to do a normal thing, like go through a domestic abuse by yourself and figure it out as a victim and not the world.
That's not normal. There's no privacy.
There's no privacy.
When people make mistakes, you don't have the sort of anonymity to like not be able to be spoken.
I think there's a middle of the road
that's perfect. Like Rihanna, Taylor Swift, Angelina, like those people are like unavoidable famous.
We're at the perfect level of like keeping a.
No, I'm saying
in terms of like we can be recognized, but we can also go to the market or go wherever
we want, and maybe one or two people,
depending on where we are, will recognize us.
Yeah.
But it's not a, like I don't ever feel like I got to go to the airport looking beautiful.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not,
you know what I mean? Like, but we still are on
TV. You're gonna look beautiful. The
most annoying thing about
today.
Us is that we're still like, right, I know. Unrecognizable though. When people are like, you look so familiar, and I have to be like, well, we don't know each other. I'm famous. Like, that's when it's like, you should just know I'm famous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No? You look so familiar, how do we know each other? And then I have to be like, well, maybe it's we've never met. You've seen me on TV once. That's the only thing that I'm like, maybe I need to be a little bit higher. But we, it doesn't affect our lives, is my point.
I just want enough fame to walk into a room and be able to sell projects and to create things that matter and that are going to live forever. I'm just not at that level of fame now. Yeah, people might know you.
They
want to talk to me to see, oh my God, you close to the Housewives. What are they like?
Right.
But it's not like I'm on the level where I can be like, listen,
this is important to me.
This is what I want to do. And having an executive say, wow, we want to see this through.
Get your name in the door. I get that. And I also feel like fame is one of those things where when you reach the level that Rihanna's at, Angelina, like you're a massive, massive star. I think it's sort of like a ride you can't get off. It's just a little bit addicting. Like no matter what you want, you're like, you, through the whole thing, you're like, I want to stay normal. I don't want my life to be crazy. But you want to achieve that level.
If there was one award show that you didn't get invited to, or you got not invited to a particular party,
yeah,
it would probably crush her because she's just so used to getting... It's whatever you want. You're Rihanna, of course. Come on in.
It's that validation. I mean, your whole like not self-worth because you are, I mean, we've heard about this in other people, but is based on other people's validation. So you kind of become addicted to that, I would imagine.
Yeah, but celebrities who want that normalcy, look at Renee Zellweger, who fell off the map for 10 years, moved to a small town.
Yeah.
You get to the small town, you see everybody 5 times, and at some point, you're just Renee. I think celebrities can do that if they really wanted to.
But when you reach a level too, she was already so massive.
You're right. When you reach a level, it
like
gets
Demi
a bit
Moore
hard.
Took her kids and moved them to where? Idaho,
Wyoming, or whatever.
Or whatever. When she was at the height of career because she wanted them to have a normal upbringing, but she had already become so successful. I think if you're just destined to be at that level, you just kind of got to ride it out. And like, unfortunately, the market trips are less.
Yeah.
But you can also help your family out. You can help other people out. You can give to charity. You can have Fenty. You can do whatever. You can have 100 shades of makeup. You know what I mean? Like, she gets to do so much positivity with her platform. It's very quiet in this room today. We're not at a lecture. Everyone can speak or breathe. It's like, right, do you feel that? I'm like, I can hear a pin drop.
It is kind of quiet. Well, happy birthday, Rihanna. Celebrate. You know what you should celebrate? By going to the grocery store.
Go to the market.
You know, just like ask the grocery store to close down. And you can go by yourself and take your time.
Like the girl had at Target. She can have that same birthday party.
Like your husband had at Ralph's.
There you go. Do it. It's fun. Okay, let's move on to Al Pacino. So Al, he got dumped because apparently he's so old and cheap. That's what his ex-girlfriend said. Okay, Maytel Dohan, explains to Le Chat magazine, how can I say politely that he didn't like to spend money?
I think that's as polite as you can say.
Yeah. The only thing he ever bought her was flowers.
And they were sunflowers.
They were?
Yes.
No, they were not.
I'm just making that up.
No.
Could you imagine?
I know. I would have left that moment. No.
Is being cheap the ultimate deal breaker?
I'm not going to answer. I'm out of this conversation. It's a ridiculous question. Ridiculous.
The deadliest combo on a man is if he is successful and cheap. There is nothing worse than going on a date with a man who's a tiny bit older than you and way more successful.
You know, and when he's got three times your bank account.
Three times my bank account. And what I like to do is, I like to test the bitch. So, because if you ask me out on a first date, and we get to Chaconi's, and we are chilling, and that bill comes, I will politely put my credit card on the table. And if you go to put your credit card on the table, I will politely pick up your credit card, hand it back to you, pay the bill, and never talk to you again.
Absolutely. Well,
if he allows you to actually put your credit card on the table, he should never even allow you to pull your credit card out.
You should never.
Yeah, like, put that away. Are you kidding me? I asked you. That's the whole thing, too. Mm-mm. Especially if you ask the person out, you pay. That 100%. Is the rule.
You know, even I think, no, I was going to say even if a girl asks a guy out, do you pay for his meal? If I said, let's go out, I want to take you out on a date.
You offer, because you
probably,
asked.
I would probably do it just to, like, stiff arm him a little bit.
Yeah. I can say a lot of things about my ex-boyfriend. I can say a lot of things. But what I did love about him was when we were at dinner. When we were at dinner and there were six strangers that he didn't know and it was all my friends and we were cackling, ordering camas, da da da. That man never let anybody put that card on the table.
It's a very,
and if you did, he was like, pick up that card.
It's true.
I just, something about if you have it and you're stingy with it, that means you're gonna be a stingy lover and that means everything's gonna be about you. I'm telling you right now, if your man is cheap, and by the way, he didn't have to have money.
That's
if we went to a movie,
good point.
If you like can only afford a movie and some popcorn, we good. Ask me to go to a movie and the popcorn. I'm good with being in sweats. But do not be stingy with your partner.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I think it's funny because out of like me and my husband, I'm the more cheap one than he is.
You're not cheap. You're cognizant of spending spending useless money. You want to be secure with the money that you spend.
Yeah.
You're also not courting each other. You're married. You have another child on the way. You're responsible with money.
True, true. But I would say though, but he's more willing to spend on things like, Krista, if you really want, like, he's the one that's to talk me into buying things. Like, he's like, if you really want this, then you should get this.
You
work hard.
Oh, I can help you with that, too, if you want. I'll help you with
that. I need help sometimes because I am a little too frugal. Because I'm like, oh, no, we needed to save, and I got more bigger things to buy, blah, 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 blah,
but
blah.
Are you doing the Jedi mind trick where, like, you're like, I don't know if I want it. Maybe I should get it. I do like the shoes.
Oh, that's exhausting.
And then he's finally like, just get it.
My birthday's, like, tomorrow, so, I mean, I don't know. I could just wait and see if I get it first, you know.
Did you just email him a list of what you want?
I actually thought about it. But I didn't yet. It's so funny. I literally crossed my mind if I wanted to just give him a list this year, but I'm just going to let him do it.
Oh, no. Oh, but then you're going to be upset.
Yeah.
Likely.
Yeah.
We'll okay. Figure that out. It'll be fine. Maytel also admits that there was a 39-year-old age gap, and that was very difficult because it's very hard to be with a man who's so old, she said. Hal's just 2 months away from 80, but those two were together for 2 years at least.
Okay.
So it's kind of, you know, when did you realize that was going to be a problem?
When she realized that he was cheap. If I am dating, I swear to you, I have dated men with money and I literally have been like, I'm not into this person and this can't go any further. So that's how I knew I was not a gold digger.
Yeah.
I am not a gold digger. It's not about that. But if I'm dating an 80-year-old man and I'm putting in some time and you are worth $180 million, of course I'm going to see every crack and cranny coming out of that skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on.
No, I agree.
Don't let me sound like I'm the only person who cares about this.
No, I agree. I mean, here's the thing. I think she's an actress herself, right? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's probably, and she said it in the article that it was an honor to be with him. She's excited to be a part of his legacy. I think when they met, she was like, holy shit, Al Pacino wants to date me, and he's somebody that I've admired for so long. He's obviously a living legend. He wants to entertain this, so I'm going to go along with it. And she did, and 2 years later, which, by the way, 2 years goes like that, as we all know.
Yeah.
So I feel like she probably woke up and was like, I'm a very young woman. She's only 43 years old. He's about to be 80 years old. Like, we're just no longer in the same life place. I don't think it was the cheapness. I think at some point it gets to a point where, if you're together for 2 years, you're spending time with somebody who's that much older than you, you go into it with an open mind, and then you're getting only flowers?
Yeah, but at the same time, too.
It could be gifts. It could be anything.
Wait, like, actually, I know this married couple, and the husband is extremely successful. He has tons of money, and she's a stay-at-home mom right now with their children. And I know that she has to, like, make, like, a court case for every little thing she wants
to
buy.
To me, that's not worth it.
And to me, I don't understand that. Like, I'm like, okay, like, you're arguing over, like, a $50...
Something.
That's
something.
Extreme.
Whenever you guys have like millions at your disposal, let your wife buy the $50 toy for the kid or whatever it is that you're trying to argue with. Like, that kind of, that's whenever, like, I think it becomes, like, such an issue. Like, you guys have to be somewhere on the same page. Like,
yeah. You do.
Hey, when we reach this status, like, we don't have to talk over expenses that are less than this particular dollar amount.
Yeah.
Anything over 100, 500, whatever your budget is, let's have a conversation about it. But other than that, like, we shouldn't have to, like, ask for permission for these little purchases.
Agreed. Yeah, but I also think, you know, in the first year of a relationship, think about it. When you're in the first year of a relationship, you're putting in the effort, you're going out to late dinners,
yeah.
You're having sexy moments. Imagine being 80 years old, having to do that first year. Once you get to the second year, you're probably like, listen, this is who I am. This is my life. I can't do a 10 o'clock dinner anymore. I'm trying to do a 5:30 at Martin's. Like, it happens in relationships where after the first, I love a 5:30 too. After the first year, you just stop, like, caring that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they're not together, Seth.
Yeah, that's
well,
fine.
I'm pretty sure they'll both find someone else.
Yes.
Okay, up next, surprising new details about Meghan and Harry's future. Even though they're stepping away from royal life, Harry could still be king one day. We'll explain.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Megxit is finally officially happening, and Melanie is here to give us all the new details. Thank you for joining us. What have we just learned?
I know, guys, big news has happened overnight, which is that Meghan and Harry are going to be leaving the royal family in their roles as we know it right now at the end of March. So that's going to be the beginning of their year really of transition and being independent from the royal family. And then after a year, they will reevaluate and see if they like their new situation. But they seem to be having a really great time in Vancouver. I think they're having a really good time.
What about the royal situation, about them calling themselves royals?
So this is a really fascinating thing that's happened. Obviously, we know that Harry and Meghan are able to keep their HRH status. They can't use it. But now there is some questions over whether they're going to be able to call themselves royal. And why this is important is because this is Harry and Meghan, who have millions of followers on their Instagram, which is called Sussex Royal.
Yes, yes.
They've actually trademarked the name Sussex Royal. They did it last year. It's what their website is called. They've actually trademarked notebooks, bandanas, all of these items that could one day merchandise come out under that name. And now if the Queen is like, you know what? I don't want you using that royal name because you're either royal or you're not royal.
Right.
Then they need to come up with a new brand name, guys. This is huge.
But wait. This is where I'm confused on the situation, because after reading everything this morning,
It
seems like they're still going to have duties.
No, only until, so actually.
And only he's going to have duties.
They're still going to do some duties. So he's got the Invictus Games coming up at the end of Feb. And then they're also going to be doing a Commonwealth thing.
The Mount Batten thing
So they're doing very limited duties.
But they still have duties. And also he is still sixth in line for the throne. So that would make me royal by blood.
But he doesn't want to work.
They're not working for the royal family anymore.
If you don't want to
royal-ish.
Work, the reason they trademarked...
They're royal adjacent. It should be royal adjacent Sussex.
Totally. You're right.
That's what it should be.
They have trademarked Sussex Royal to protect their name, right? So that you and I can't go off and like have a Sussex Royal t-shirt made. All the Queen is saying is, I want to look after and protect my brand as well. And that's the royal brand. And you're either in or you're out.
Do you feel like, in or out, do you feel like the Queen has been a little bit more lenient? Do you think she's been lenient to them towards this whole process through this?
No, I think
you think she's been petty?
Yeah, girl.
I think she's been fair.
I think she's been fair, and she's actually made decisions that are based on the crown and not based on her own personal preferences.
Yeah, we always put the crown first.
She has to put the brand of the royal family, the crown, before any personal preference.
Do you think her relationship is strained with her grandson right now?
I mean, I don't think it's strange. She adores him, but I do think that this is an unusual situation. But people are getting used to it.
So I think the queen is sitting there watching reruns of The Kardashians, and she saw the episode where Blac Chyna tried to do Angela Kardashian before she was married.
Why are you still texting?
Why are you texting? And Kris Jenner was like,
"It's true.
Trademark. You want trademark a name? You're not even
Kris Jenner and the Queen are basically the same amount of power, right? Like they are. They both run as much.
100%. Okay. So some outlets are saying that this arrangement isn't exactly permanent, and the family's only just testing it out for a year.
Well, we've been told that they're gonna take a year and see how it goes. There were some paparazzi pictures that came out this weekend of Harry going and buying sandwiches.
Kind of sandwich?
I actually don't know the answer to that,
probably
darling.
Probably
tuna. But the reason I bring this up...
Well, I'm just curious. I'm pregnant.
The reason I bring it up... No, because they'll be vegan, right?
They're vegan?
Oh my God!
There's oat milk in that house, isn't
green.
There?
Anyway, so you never would have had that before because of all the security. Like, the paps would never have followed Harry. So let's see how Harry and Meghan find it after a year in Vancouver, a year of being followed, all of that stuff.
Are they vegan? I'm sorry.
No, because they have roast chicken. They got engaged over roast chicken, but I mean, like, very kind of...
They did have roast chicken, that's right.
I remember that interview like it was yesterday. My question is...
Am I hosting the chew? Can you stop with
I'm
the food?
Sorry,
and can you stop
distracted.
Indulging her
sorry.
With the food?
But why would the paparazzi not have followed him, though? Don't they always follow him?
Because there was an agreement in place as far as they did sometimes, but they were like, you know, you're working all the time, we're going to give you some space. It would have been seen as an invasion of privacy.
Now it's like,
Whereas it's like the gloves are off. Also, it's like you have put yourself and made yourself in the headlines. Like, you are now more in the national interest as far as what are you doing and how are the taxpayers who are paying for some security? Like, where's that money going? Like, there is a kind of element as far as an argument to be said for being followed and keeping tabs on
them. And how old is Harry now?
33.
I think after 33
years. He's only around 33?
Yeah, he's younger than her, maybe 34.
I think after 33 or 34 years of being in the royal family and now getting this taste of freedom and getting this taste of being able to work with other people and not have to go through the song and dance and kind of the vetting that it would take to do a project with the royal, I feel like Harry is gonna love this taste of freedom and won't wanna go back because you've already have, you know, big shots like Oprah and Bob Iger and all these people wanting to work with them, doing a talk in Miami for the JB Morgan Chase situation. I just feel like sometimes when your parents give you that taste of freedom and say, okay, you're gonna go to college for a year, you stay there for five.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is really what Harry wants. I think he's sort of followed duties and orders for his entire life. I don't think he's ever felt 100% fit in. He didn't ever fit in with that lifestyle. So I think he's gonna do what he's going
to
do.
Maybe they just did the year to soften the blow. It's like, well, let's just do a year.
Well, they're just reviewing it because here's the other thing. With that dinner that you're talking about in Florida, Harry and Meghan going to that dinner, they sat with J-Lo and whoever else was at that table, right? They could have got into a conversation that might have got them into trouble. So if they sat next to me and I asked them a controversial question and they answered it, I never would have been able to sit next to them at a private dinner before because the palace would have, like, controlled everyone
now,
that was there.
Now they're out in
and
the
now
wild.
That's not going to happen. So let's just see what happens over the next year.
We will
that
be watching.
That protection will not be
sure.
in place.
All right. Thank you so much, Melanie.
At
I don't
Chase
know.
Dinner?
And look,
will you stop asking about food? Okay. Are we on the chew?
I mean, jeez. Come on.
All right. Coming up, the new airline debate. Imagine being seated next to not a dog, not a cat, but like a whole horse. It really happened. Is that okay? We'll debate.
My 23 and me just came back.
I see someone scaling, literally scaling an 8-foot gate at my parents' house. And they come off and they like do like a back handspring thing, pulls down. I'm like about to yell at this guy, and it's Tom Cruise. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize you were coming to our party.
He's like, I wasn't invited.
He's like, I heard there was a party. I'm like, yeah, Tom, come on in.
Oh my gosh, that was Kate Hudson telling Ellen about one of Goldie and Kurt's epic parties. Tom Cruise just scales the wall. And see, this is why Justin Bieber, you don't challenge Tom Cruise to a fight.
Nope.
He can scale a wall, do a backflip thing.
Not at all.
He's just, anyways.
Who scales a wall?
Tom Cruise.
I don't know. I've climbed a I've climbed a fire escape to get to a party.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, girl.
You've climbed some things.
I've climbed some things. I've scaled a wall to check on to see if a dude was at somebody else's house, but, it's a whole nother thing.
The drive-by doesn't work anymore.
I've done the drive-by and the peek over, too.
Oh, I love the drive-by.
You can't do
it. I had to go this way. Who is that?
You can't just drive by in Homely Hills.
No.
You got to cross the gate.
You do. Mm-hmm.
All right. Last week, you guys, there was the big airplane debate about whether or not you should recline your seat, which, by the way, I'm all for recline your seats. That's why you're able to recline them. But now there's a new debate. A woman flew first class with her service animal that just happened to be a miniature horse.
That subtle Carissa is so extra. It's just my favorite thing about you.
Thanks. And get this. His name is Frecklebutt. Frecklebutt Fred.
We talked about this. He looks like Nacho Libre as a horse.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He does.
I said that yesterday, so if you heard that yesterday, sorry. But it's true. It's Nacho Libre. You can find a cat or a dog. You don't need to bring a whole horse.
It's her baby. It's her horsey.
But, like, her horsey. She wants you to recline your seat. But if somebody brought a horse and sat next to you, Carissa, you would call animal control.
I would. It would be annoying.
You can't bring a horse.
Horses kind of stink.
What's also, like, where's the line here? I'm very pro-animal, by the way, but, like, get a turtle. You don't need to bring a horse on an airplane.
I have a support turtle.
A support turtle or a support gerbil, hamster.
Those also kind of stink.
Yeah, but, like, things that are small. You can't have a whole horse on an airplane. Also, how does that horse go to the bathroom?
That's a great question. I don't know. It looks like something's going over his butt, so I don't know if it's
okay. So it's just packing in there. All right, I'm done with this conversation. You cannot bring an effing horse on an airplane.
I don't. It's
Justin. Are you going to say something about this?
I'm just trying to let you work it out.
Do you want a horse on an airplane?
No, but I also think that the service animal situation has gotten way out of control.
Way out of control.
I think people are just getting service animal tags so they can bring their dogs to restaurants bring them on flights for free. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to start to see a ban on those things.
Oh,
and
it's
the
happened,
people
yeah.
who actually need service animals won't be able to use them. It's like when I see people that have a handicap sign walking into the gym.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're not handicapped.
I don't know why it just doesn't bother me. I feel like the more the merrier. I mean, a horse is another thing, but like the dogs and the cats and stuff, that just doesn't bother me. Like, and as long as you have like a behaved dog, like don't try to pretend like your dog is.
You need to be aware.
This I have like one dog I could bring into social settings and he's like Charlie, he's like 12, he doesn't do anything. He just lays there like a cat. But my other dog, not so much. Like, she's too hyper, she's too loud, she sheds. It's like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, don't bring your dog and try to pretend like this is your therapy dog, whatever. This dog is like completely off the haywire.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
I just think horses, we gotta get this under control now. Sorry.
No mini horse.
And I love a horse. Plane.
I know.
Horse is my least favorite animal, actually.
Least?
Yeah. I like them. We just don't vibe that well.
I get it.
Random facts from white women.
A horse stepped on my toe when I was little, and that hurt really bad.
Seriously? Yeah. Were you at camp?
No, I was at my house. We had horses for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Why don't I vibe with a horse? And I need to be good at horseback riding, because everyone I'm in love with
loves
horses.
White women know.
Okay. Up next, it's Therapy Thursday.
Oh, I love that.
And Jason Waller are here to talk sobriety and how battling addiction affects everyone. Lots to learn when we come back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Jason Waller and Dr. Drew Pinsky are here for Therapy Thursday, and we're going to have an open and honest conversation about what to do when you or someone you love struggles with addiction. I know a lot of people have a connection to addiction, including ourselves, but let's start with you, Jason. We actually had such an amazing conversation, an open conversation a few months ago on Just a Sip, and you came clean about what led to your relapse. Let's take a look at this.
You know what triggered me was actually for the first time in my life was body imaging. I had gained a lot of weight from this. I've always been somebody that's very active, very high metabolism, somebody that's always been in shape. And if you watch the last episodes of the show, I mean, I was 200, like the last show that was on, I was about 215 pounds there.
Yeah. So the show you were actually talking about was The Hills, New Beginnings. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today?
Today I'm doing phenomenal. Today I'm doing phenomenal, but in an effort of honesty and transparency since that show, I had another slip. But what keeps me going is the honesty, the transparency, and you know, being vulnerable. You know, by expressing vulnerability, it creates humility to let people know they're not alone. You know, when this stuff does happen, but it's a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease.
It's
man.
Incredible, right? And so Jason is an inspiration, right? Jason's a yeah. miracle. Different dude than when I first encountered him. And I look at these slips as just learning opportunities for you. But what the problem is if people slip and just stay out, or yeah. if they start BSing,
or they
start obfuscating, and which the disease makes them want to do that. They don't want to do that. The disease is about doing that. But this man remains my guiding light.
Yeah.
And this is what people don't understand. They go, oh, see, he's not staying sober. No, this is a sober dude that is struggling with more and more tender issues as he gets deeper into his sobriety.
Yeah. And relapsing is so common, right?
Relapsing is common?
Relapsing. Yeah. Like how many times?
See, I consider a relapse when people just go, they leave the program.
Right.
It's not somebody who's in the treatment, captured by the community, in right. treatment, working hard on it, and something doesn't go right.
Yeah.
I don't even consider that a relapse.
Yeah.
He used to use the word slip. I think that's a better word.
So, what caused your slip this time around?
Yeah, it goes back to the body stuff and the insecurities, you know, and a lot of that is really where it stems from is, again, is at the age of 33, metabolism slows down and not being able to get back into shape. And it's like, God, I know if I take this, it's going to instantly cut off some pounds and do yeah. stuff like that.
But see, what I hear is now he's getting into the more tender parts of himself. And he's more and more vulnerable. And so these symptoms are emerging, but it's because he's... you're getting more real about who you are and what's going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of self-discovery. I think that's the biggest thing is there's so much self-discovery that's happened over this time because these last 4 or 5 years, you know, when I'd go in and out, because after I had that duration of the 5 years of sobriety and then the 5 years of going back in and out, I lost sight of who I was again. And I think now that it being raw and having to be totally open with it is like, that's what Drew's nailing it is. I look back when I was a really young kid and some of those things that I never dealt with, the insecurities and the self-shaming and stuff are all starting to surface now.
Yeah.
And being able to process that. And I used to just escape, you know, through drugs and alcohol. And
But see, the disease just waits right behind him, like jump in.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with all this tender stuff. And then his brain starts going, yeah, right. You're doing great. Now use this, you'll get better.
My mom relapsed after 21 years of being sober.
Who's this?
My mom. Because
alcohol,
yeah. It's because the disease kind of told her that she was cured and she didn't really have a disease anymore, and that like she'd be fine if she just had one more drink.
It's unusual after 20 years. It's unusual,
I know.
But that just tells you.
But she's now been sober again.
I get so angry at this disease. I get so angry at her.
She's
now
been sober again for almost another 20 years.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
So like it's just like getting back and, like, on realizing.
Well, that's the other thing too, though, is for me, is in this last time, is I've been so entrenched with recovery too, is I'm at a spot of willingness and direction where a lot of my ways kept getting me back to these same places where I reach out a lot. I take a lot of direction. I mean, especially from individuals like Drew, but there's so many people that, you know, I talk to on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I really am in a surrender spot where it's just like, hey, I need to take full direction.
He used to be such a pain in my butt.
but he is
an absolute joy now.
But let me ask you this question, and I hope to hear from both of you on this. My mind would say if I'm having body image issues and being on camera gives me those slips and gives me that insecurity, what do you think about going back to the hills again?
You know, again,
how are you preparing yourself for that second time around? Because I know you guys are filming.
100%. And a great thing is I've been working out a lot. I've been putting in the hard work and efforts that I need to. And like, again, I'm getting to a spot where I'm actually very comfortable in my own skin. Like I said, I'm seeing the results. I'm seeing, you know, by putting in the hard work, I'm getting the results that I'm wanting to see. But I also, more importantly, is again, as I'm again going back to connecting and talking to people, I'm making it very, very aware of what I struggled with before. I didn't tell anybody. After it happened, I talked about it. But now it's like, hey, look, you guys are totally aware of this. Please you hold me accountable, because at times I can't do that. I need the support.
The camera sometimes holds people accountable too.
I agree with the same thing.
That's true.
I feel like a lot of times people, like I know a lot of people said, Kim Richards, why would you do the show? But I feel like Kim Richards' sobriety is connected to the show because it was a mirror. And it was a motivator.
Yeah, it was a motivator, and also it gives her accountability, right?
Exactly.
It just means that people are going to keep an eye
on you.
Being
a reality show is hard. You have to look at yourself.
Yeah.
You're seeing stuff you don't like. It's not so fun.
But it's also a big part of my, what I believe God put me here on this earth too, is to walk through this.
I agree.
And I mean, what's the likelihood that I'd be, you know, the drunk, womanized, alcoholic 15, 12 years ago, right? To this spot now of having a family, you know, being married and having a kid and sharing my story. It's just like, it's to show that this affects everybody. The disease does not discriminate, you know? And I think that's one of the most powerful things is, and I'm open to that. I've accepted that fact that, like, you know, instead of trying to hide behind those things like I did for the last few years, it's like, God, I'm just gonna be open about it, you know? And I'm trying, I can tell you, I can look you dead in the eyes. I am trying as hard as I possibly can to do this.
And I believe you. And I'm happy that you brought up that it affects everyone, because coming up shortly, we're gonna have Ashley, Jason's wife, to talk about what her journey's been like through your recovery.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand, wherever there's an alcoholic or an addict, there is a codependent or an enabler, and sometimes they're just as sick, if not sicker.
That's true.
I mean, I got to experience that because when I met Ashley and I had the 4.5 years of sobriety that I had, and when I relapsed and I was in active addiction for 3 years, she didn't know how to set boundaries.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. Ashley, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before the break, we just talked to Jason about this recent slip that he had. You guys have been together for over 9 years. Why was this slip different? How did it feel different? Was there like a different method to it, or did you know from past experiences that he had slipped this time?
I think like the most important thing that I've learned, I also am in program Al-Anon, and that's been a huge help for me for creating boundaries. And I think the reason why this was different is because my boundaries are getting stronger.
Good.
It's like a muscle I haven't used ever before, and now I'm strong in that sense. And so instead of my boundaries moving with wherever he goes, my boundaries are really firm. And this time it was a boundary that was almost like an ultimatum boundary. And I think that that was really important because we were all supposed to go up to Northern California together as a family. And it was during the holidays, and I said, you can't go. Like, you got to really work on yourself. And that was the first time I've ever like really left him to sink in his stuff.
Yeah.
And realize that I can't be in that hula hoop anymore, because if I'm in the hula hoop, I get really sick with the disease as well. And I enable the situation, and it's like walking on eggshells or poking the bear when I know that only he can change himself. And by me being in that hula hoop is actually causing a bigger problem. So by me stepping out of it and letting him kind of deal with what he needs, he has the support, he has the amount of people that need to be there for him. I needed to focus on me so that I could be a support to him and also be strong for myself to make sure that like I have firm boundaries, because that's
also
how
most
I lose
importantly
it,
not to accept it though. And that's where honestly the biggest thing that came in, it was anger came up right away when she set that boundary, because this is the first time ever
in the 9 years
that she said you are not coming. And so fear creeps up, anger creeps up, ego key creeps up, but what that did after that 3 days is she got home, and after doing literally a 3-day course with multiple people in and out of my house, I sat there and I apologized to her, you know, and really took ownership for my actions. And that's where things really shifted. And that's never happened before, because I've always dictated my road.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just have a question. Like, we talk a lot about the addict getting help, but the person who's living with the addict, like, how long did it take you to get help and realize that you also needed that?
So that's the three of us, right? You, me, and Ashley, we're all codependents, right?
Yeah.
We deal with addicts, we have addicts in our life. And you hear her talking about this issue of boundaries. It's very psychological. It's very difficult to sort of, it's not like, hey, don't use.
Yeah.
It's a much more psychological, deeper kind of a problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because when you're dealing with somebody that's in the depths of their disease, it's such a fear-based thing that you want to do whatever you can because you love that person so much that you're feeling like you're doing everything to help them, but instead it's like almost hurting them.
Yeah.
And you really lose sight of yourself. Like, that was a really big issue for me, is I didn't even know what color I liked. Like, I didn't even know what I liked to do anymore. And it was great, because after the first season of The Hills, we got to reflect on how we were and really working on ourselves for the last year of not filming. And, you know, my sponsor always said to me, because I have a sponsor as well, who's like a mentor, and she would always say, like, you really need to see a therapist. And seeking professional help is like incredible. Yeah. And having those people in your life to really keep you in that core group and put you in check is like really important.
100%.
And so I think that she brings up on that, I think is phenomenal, is we've always been so willing and we still love giving back to other people, right? But during this time, in the 9 years, we never thought to, you know, seek professional help, like, really? For ourselves, like for therapy and stuff.
We so like really couples, hadn't
for
gone,
couples,
yeah,
therapy.
Or even, yeah. And I hadn't,
yeah,
gone
individual,
to
for sure. Yeah. Individual, 100%.
I'm like, you're a therapist. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Multiple because times. You guys were very busy with your own stuff, and the relationship was functioning. It was things where everybody's happy, yes, and going okay, but there's stuff that needs to shift, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And so now we spend 3 hours a week on our relationship, which it's right, like, it's, yeah, phenomenal. Like, it's hard work does pay off.
Damn, I really want to keep this conversation going, but we're running out of time.
We'll have to come back to Just a Sip.
We're going to come back to Just a Sip, but we're going to talk about this. People can go and find resources at what website? I know you guys have created something amazing.
Yeah, redsongbirdfoundation.org.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find you, Dr. Drew?
DrDrew.com. Don't forget After Dark, a bunch of podcasts up there. That's where I am.
And you guys, if you literally want to hear this whole conversation, just go to wherever you can find a podcast. The Just a Sip is there. It's so informative. It's so amazing. And after, we're going to have Ashley and Jason. They'll be answering questions on our eDaily Pop Instagram right after the show. So send your questions to eDaily Pop using the hashtag Therapy Thursday. We'll be right back. A really, like, we gotta do this more often.
I love this, the energy, yeah, in this room.
I know.
Yeah, it's so great.
I know.
You guys are so good at what you do. You're very good.
Vanderpump Rules star Ariana Madix is opening up about her experiences with skin cancer. Ariana was diagnosed with melanoma in 2018 and got surgery to have the cancerous mole removed. She told SurvivorNet she was concerned about the mole for years, but never got it checked out by a specialist because her health insurance did not cover it. Have you ever blown off a health issue because you couldn't afford it?
I grew up in a place where not a lot of people had medical insurance or medical care. And I know a lot of women who have died from breast cancer because they didn't have the resources to get the mammogram.
That is.
And sometimes I get very upset that as a nation, we haven't figured out a healthcare system where, I get it, maybe you don't want to pay for everyone's healthcare, but screenings should be free.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
People should have the right to know what they're gonna go down, because guess what happens? At the end of the day, if you don't catch it until it's stage four, that's gonna cost you way more money. That's gonna put you through way more expenses. And a lot of times,
it will
cost you your life. And it's a very hard thing.
Yeah.
That's why I think screenings should be free.
And money and medical issues is just a sad story in America. I mean, I just think like it breaks my heart with how deep in debt people can go just to try to keep themselves alive or healthy or a family member intact. I have 100% skipped tests because I didn't want to pay for it or because my insurance didn't properly cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I've been okay, knock on wood. But, you know, there's been times when a doctor's been like, you know what, get that checked out. I'm like, let's just see if it like still bothers me in a couple months.
Meanwhile, you have an arm growing out of your ear.
I'm like, nah.
The other thing also, she was so young when this happened. So I think when you're younger and something might be a little bit off, you kind of just ignore it and wait for it to go away. More so?
I think you're right.
So
I
she
think
probably
right.
was like, there's no way that nobody ever thinks like this can happen to me, especially like such a young woman. So I think it is important to pay attention to signs, as my eye's been twitching for 4 weeks.
Yeah, we need to get that checked out.
I'm going to.
We've been telling you at this point, check it out.
It's time.
Before her surgery, Ariana says strangers would slip into her DMs and say that she should get her mole looked at. Have you ever gotten health advice from a stranger, and is that appropriate?
Back to my eye twitch, this is like the subject it's doing right now. Do you see it?
I see it.
I see it.
I see it.
You guys have to look into the camera.
Now I'm nervous. But anyway, everyone DMs me. They're like, have one cup of, or lessen your caffeine intake. It's sleep, it's stress, blah, blah, blah. I have one cup of coffee a day. I go to sleep at like 9 o'clock at night. I wake up at 5:30. Like, I'm not like doing any, like I'm doing all, like I take magnesium and it's still, but I take their advice. I think it's helpful is the question, but it's not going away.
I take advice too. I do listen because I at least consider it because I can't help it. Once you put a thought in my head, it's...
Yeah, what about... Yeah,
it's going. And so, yeah. So I ask my doctor about it usually, and you know, I see what they say. But it's like, to me, it doesn't hurt to ask the question. And if you've caused concern, then maybe you're right, maybe you're not. I don't know, but it doesn't hurt to ask my doctor and see what they say.
I mean, Tariq Amous's life was saved because somebody 100%. DM'd him and said that he might have had something. And there was also that ABC News reporter. So yep. People have gotten things... Checked out, and it's
helpful.
That's why I love the people.
Tell us, guys.
Yeah, please let us know.
I love Twitter.
All right, we'll be right back with more Daily Pop after this.
Let me check Twitter just in case.
All right, let's wrap up with some final thoughts from you on whether you'd want fame or privacy. Vanessa says, I definitely take the fame and riches. With that kind of money, I would pay extra for the market to stay open for another hour just for me to shop in peace.
Ooh.
Sydney says, I'm a flight attendant and people bring their miniature horses all the time. This isn't new. They are very mellow and the same size as a large dog.
Okay, that puts things into perspective. How do people have money to buy mini horses?
I thought that was just like a Lisa Vanderpump thing.
Yeah, aren't they expensive? Like, I'm just confused. Maybe I need a mini horse now. I'm changing my mind.
What was that woman saying again?
That tweeted that?
Yeah, Sydney. Sydney, your flight attendant. Let that horse take a dump. Let's see if you still feel the same way.
It's true. I don't think we need an animal on the... And I love an animal, but nah.
Okay, on whether being cheap is a deal breaker in relationships, Pamela says, cheap is worse than ugly, guys. All right, tomorrow, Hamilton star Leslie Odom Jr. will be here. Plus, we're celebrating National Margarita Day with some wild drinks that you have to try. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.
We'll be having champagne, yeah.
Champagne on ice. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.